Lesson tonight is on your heart. On your heart. In 1998, my brother told me about Jesus Christ. And I would like to say at that time, I was converted to Christianity. I actually thought I was converted to Christianity. But actually, the conversion process didn't take place until 2008. So for 10 years, I was a lost soul because I heard the word of God, but I didn't understand the word of God. I heard the word of God, but I didn't walk like I should have in the word of God. I had a lot of toot, but I had no fruit. Turn your scriptures to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So while going through this process, in Baltimore, Maryland, where I was at, there was a doctor by the name of Edwin Cole. I don't know if anyone's familiar with him. And he said to us, he said that change isn't change until you have made the decision to change. Change is not change until you have made the decision to change. Whatever is going on in your life, until you have made the decision to change, there is no change. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, through the inspiration of God, Paul says, I beseech you, I beg of you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's focus on verse 2, being transformed. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of whose mind? Your mind. The renewing, an ongoing occurrence, something that's constantly going on, a change. And the scripture says of your mind. It doesn't speak on someone else's mind. It speaks that you have the responsibility, if you want change to be changed in your life, to change your mind. The way that you think. The renewing of the mind or being transformed starts from the inside out. A change within. The examples that we use mostly is a metamorphosis, a change that happens within. Let's use the example of the stages of a butterfly. First, you have the egg. Second, you have the larva. The larva itself wraps itself in a cocoon. That's the resting stage. So while this larva is wrapping itself in the cocoon and living in the cocoon, there's a metamorphosis that takes place. There's a change within the cocoon. Then finally, you have the final stage, which is an adult butterfly. As Christians, we also go through stages too. For those desiring to be converted to Christianity, we go through stages also. First, we obtain the knowledge of the word of God. Secondly, you have to put on humility. That's the absence of pride. Thirdly, the conversion process. You're believing, you're confessing, you repent. And notice that that repentance is not a 360. It's a 180-degree turn. See, 360 means you see something, then you turn back around and you go right back to it again. When you repent from something, you turn away 180 degrees and you don't have nothing to do with it anymore. So as you repent, you deny yourself. As you deny yourself, that means you're putting God first. So as you believe and you confess and you repent and you're putting God first, you're baptized. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 3, those who are baptized in Christ puts on Christ. So now you have been transformed. So you're choosing to follow the Lord continuously. And as you choose to follow the Lord continuously, you have the obligation now to start the renewing process of your mind. Well, Brother Mello, what do you mean by that? You have to start studying. You have the responsibility to start studying. There's Bible study on Wednesday night here at Kent Church of Christ at 7 o'clock. We also have teachings also on Thursday. We're studying the book of Galatians. You also have Sunday morning service that starts at 10:30, and Bible study, Sunday school starts at 9. You also have Sunday night service at 5:30. Then you have brothers and sisters in Christ that will be willing to sit down and study with you. So we are without any excuse. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15, study to show yourselves approved. Unto who? God, a workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to study God's word in order to know God. There's nothing spooky coming out of the sky. There's no oil, no one praying around you that's going to make the Christ of the word of God dwell with you richly in all wisdom. You have to take the responsibility. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, that is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now notice that. For the instruction in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God will be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. The instruction manual. The Bible. You want to live a righteous lifestyle? First, you must study God's word, and you have to apply the scriptures to your life. Change is not change until you have made the decision to change. Tonight, let us examine the lifestyle of three individuals. The first individual who we will examine is the rich young man in Matthew 19, who was willing to follow Christ, but struggled with humility. He struggled with being transformed. Secondly, we will examine the lifestyle of the rich man in Luke 16, who wasn't willing to change at all. He wanted to stay conformed to this world. And thirdly, well, that third individual, we'll talk about later. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. The rich young man was a Pharisee. And he came to Jesus, and he was inquisitive about having eternal life. Let's read the scripture here. Chapter 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? The rich young man called Jesus good master. So he already had an idea that he was actually in the presence of God himself in the flesh, because he called him good master. What must I do that I may have eternal life? Verse 17. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Jesus, another word, said, if you're interested in having this eternal life, keep the commandments. keep the commandments. So he understood, the Pharisee understood what Jesus was saying. See, they believed in the law. So when Jesus said that to him, Jesus was actually coming from Exodus chapter 20, verses 12 through 17. So the rich young man said unto Jesus, which commandment should I keep? Verse 18. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The rich man asked Jesus, which commandment is necessary for me to have salvation? And Jesus began to tell him those commandments. Verse 20. The young man said unto him, all these things I have kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? See, the Pharisees practiced the law at an early stage in life. So he was asking, which commandment must I keep? Not only did he ask that question, but he said, what am I lacking? Because I practice these every day. He thought he did. See, it's amazing how God, when you come to God, it's amazing how he can expose you for who you truly are in your heart. And you know, that's something that you really have to be very careful with when you go to the Lord and you're asking for something, or maybe it's a need, or some type of change in your heart so you can be better for him. Because, see, we have a lot of stuff that's built up in us, ungodly stuff. And change isn't changed until you have made the decision to change. So God will not only grant your request if you wanted to change to be a better Christian and to live a godly lifestyle. So there's exposure that takes place. And when you're going through the exposing process, it's not an easy thing. Because some stuff is going to come out. But it's not to break you. It's to make you. Amen, somebody. The Pharisee pride themselves with keeping the ordinances of the law. They pride themselves. They had no humility at all. What if the rich man, young man, said, all the commandments, Lord, I have broken. Not that I have kept. But what if he said, Lord, all the commandments I have broken. What must I do to cleanse my sins away? What must I do to show humility? What if he had said that? He would have a change of heart. Let us look and see what he says. So now Jesus is exposing him for who he really is. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that which thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Oh, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'm coming to you on bended knees. But to give up the things of this world? No, I can't do that. See, I can't do that. To give up things and sell to the poor? Is there things in your life right now that you know in your heart that you need to give up to stay on the pathway of righteousness? There is. We all have something. Worldly possessions mean nothing to inherit eternal life. Worldly possessions mean nothing to inherit eternal life. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what should a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul. The number one lie, and I learned that here. Listen to this. There's a number one lie out right now in this world that Satan pretty much tells everybody. You have plenty of time to change. That is a lie. That is a lie. Do not be deceived by that lie. Change, again, isn't change until you have made the decision to change. God exposes us because he knows our deepest heart, what's inside of us. And he wants to have that metamorphosis inside of us, that change within, so we can be better for him. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, verses 19 through 23. Matthew chapter 13, verses 19 through 23. Jesus speaks on changing your heart. And notice something. The heart is not talking. I'm not talking about the physical heart. I'm not talking about the heart that pumps oxygen throughout your body. I'm talking about the renewing of your mind. This heart right here that should be renewed every day of our life in order to change. In Matthew 13, verses 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catch away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. He hears the word, the kingdom, the message, the seed, the word of God, but he doesn't quite understand it. And because he doesn't quite understand it, the wicked one comes and catches away which was sown in his heart. But notice something. He received the seed by the wayside. What is the wayside? It should be a complete pathway on the road to righteousness. But there's a cutoff point. He only receives just enough of the word just to get by. This is a person who has a hardened heart. They don't quite understand it, but they just want enough just to get by. Careless people who hear what they want to hear are easily deceived. Careless people that hear what they want to hear are easily deceived. Verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, those stony places are hypocrites. See, you have hypocrites, people who live a double lifestyle that know the word of God. And they're easily willing to go out and tell you something that God says half truthfully, just so you can put yourself in the position to follow them and not follow the Lord. So they received the seed, God's word, into stony places. The same as he that heareth the word, and Ananias straightway with joy receives it. Yet have he not rooted himself, but endure for a while. When tribulations and persecutions arise because of the word, by and by he's offended. Why is he offended? Because he only heard half-truths. He only heard half-truth. And not only he only heard half-truth from the hypocrite, but he had not willing to root himself in the Word of God. What foundation are we building our life on? Are we going to build our foundation on stony places? Or are we going to build our foundation on Jesus Christ? This is a person who has a shallow heart. They hear, straight away, they receive it. But because they have not rooted themselves in Jesus Christ, they have a shallow heart. There are those who are just told about the happiness of heaven. There are those who want to hear nothing but the Christian privileges. But there is less teaching about their own soul and about the souls of others. There's less teaching about their own souls and the souls of others. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what should a man give in exchange for his soul? A person with a shallow heart. Verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This is a person who has a crowded heart. They receive the seed among thorns. The thorns are the worldly cares of this world. Again, they receive God's word, but it's amongst individuals who care for nothing but the word of God. They care for nothing but themselves, I mean, and not for the word of God. You have a lot of people out there that will use the word of God for themselves. I see it all the time. And sadly to say, I was part of that. Denominationalism. I remember years ago being in line. Money lines, we call them. Give 25. Those who are able to give 50. $100, come forth. And watch this change that's going to happen within. That's a person who has a crowded heart. The cares of this world. But thank God for Jesus, because he says here in verse 23, but he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. This is a person who has a fruitful heart. A fruitful-hearted person will demonstrate what they believe. If you have a fruitful heart for the Lord, you will demonstrate what you believe. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperaments. Verse 25, if we believe in the Spirit, let us also do what? Walk in the Spirit. You are what you believe. If you believe that you have a fruitful heart, you are what you believe. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what should a man give in exchange for his soul? Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. We're going to look at the rich man who wanted to stay conformed to this world, who did not want change at all. Luke 16, verse 19. And there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared a lavish lifestyle. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and see if Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 23, there are consequences for our actions. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, because he chose not to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. He chose to be conformed to this world. When you choose to be conformed to a world that cannot give you salvation, there's consequences for your actions. Change is not change until you make the decision to change. Verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Have mercy on me. Don't give me what I deserve. Father Abraham, don't give me what I deserve. Are there things in your life that you're asking God to have mercy on you for? There's always something to work on. And I'm not talking about physically work. I'm talking about being exposed to be better for the Lord. Verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. See, the rich man was in a position to help Lazarus out. He was in a position to help Lazarus when he was at his table. He was in a position to help Lazarus when he was at his gates. He was maybe could have been in a position just to say, hello, Lazarus, how are you doing? Have you been in position to help someone out, to tell them about the gospel of Christ? And did you take full respect of that and willing to tell someone about the gospel of Christ? I really believe as those who are in Christ, God puts us in position every day, because that's the will of the Lord. That's the will of the Lord. Job chapter 21, verse 13 says, they spend their days in wealth and in a moment go to their grave. Work hard just to get. And there's not a U-Haul following you at all. And the stuff that you try to gain and get, family members are fighting over it. So that $1 million that you work so hard to get through court costs and everything else goes down to nothing. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what should you give in exchange for your soul? Verse 26. And Abraham says, and besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In other words, there are no second chances. It's finalized. Lazarus is not coming to you, and you are not coming to him. There are no second chances. If you choose to be conformed to this world, you have to deal with the consequences. You cannot die wrong and wake up right. There's no dying wrong and waking up right. It's impossible for the wicked, for those who choose to be conformed to this world, it's impossible to escape the consequences. Time is a lie. The time is now. If there's something in your life that needs to be fixed, it's now. It's not tomorrow. It's not 15 minutes from now. It's now. There's always some type of change that could go on in your life. Verse 27. Then he said, if I pray thee therefore, Father, if thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren that has testified unto them, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. See, this rich man who is now in a place of torment, it's amazing that some type of compassion and sympathy and empathy for others. Because he has five brothers, and he says, Father Abraham, if you're not able to send Lazarus to me, send him to my brother's house, to my father's house, because I have five brethren who are hypocrites and live the lavish lifestyle and who are conformed to this world. And I don't want them to come to this place of torment with me. Verse 29. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. They have Moses and the prophets. That wasn't good enough. Because why? Why wasn't it good enough for them? Because their heart was hardened. Because their heart was shallow. Because their heart was crowded. Here today in America, we have the number one published book in the world today, the Bible, translated in many different languages. Are we using it? Are we studying to show ourselves approved? Are we using the scriptures for righteousness' sake so we can walk and be together as Christians and tell those about the gospels of Christ? In South Africa, there was a young girl who was 15 years old. Oprah Winfrey built a school down there. And it was a reporter who asked this young girl a question. What is the worst thing that can happen to you while attending this school? This is a 15-year-old girl. She said, the worst thing that can happen to me while attending this school is to waste the education that has been freely given to me. 15 years old that said that and gave that answer. So I ask ourselves, as Christians, what is the worst thing that can happen to us? God gave his only begotten Son. Christ died on the cross for our sins, rose from the dead on the third day that we may have eternal life. Sent men of God, apostles, to write the scriptures for us. Sent prophets. And we have the number one published book in the world. Wouldn't it be a sad thing if we don't study it? Wouldn't it be a sad thing if we didn't live by it? And all that God did for us. To me, that would be the worst thing in the world. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what should a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 31. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead. God allows us to make choices. Are you tonight willing to be transformed completely or conformed to this world? Life is a choice, and we are the choices that we make. That third individual is us tonight in this building. We are the third individual. So my question is, this is not about you looking at your spouse. It's not about you looking at a friend or thinking about somebody. This is about you. This is about me. What type of heart do you have? Do you have a hardened heart? You hear, but you don't quite understand. And the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in your heart. Are you that one tonight who has a shallow heart? You hear God's word, but you receive the seed amongst hypocrites. And when trials and tribulations come in your life, you get frail. Do you have a shallow heart? Or are you the one who has a crowded heart? The cares of this world mean more to you. See, I'm not going to go with the fruitful heart, because I'm going to tell you why. Because we would gravitate to that. Oh, I got a fruitful heart. I'm okay. Because, see, I know better. Because I know it's always something to work on. I know it's always something to work on. So are you that one tonight? What type of heart do you have? In Acts chapter 2, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven, and they heard the gospel message that Peter preached, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. In verse 37, after hearing this message, they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, what must we do? They were asking, what must we do to be saved? Peter said in verse 38, repent, be baptized in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. In verse 41, 3,000 souls were saved on that day because they chose not to be conformed to this world. In verse 42, they did not only the most important thing after being baptized is the thing, but they, verse 42, they did the most important thing, second most important thing. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. They stayed on the yellow brick road. I use the analogy of Dorothy. When she stayed on the yellow brick road, she was safe. But when she decided to do things herself, she ran into witches, flying monkeys, and everything else. Talking lions. Foolish.